and welcome to Chats for You, the podcast where I, James Walker, talk to people I like for you, the public. And that is really all it is. Like, basically, I try and talk to people I like, and they sometimes let me. It's a great premise, really. In this episode, episode 43, I talk to the comedian Patrick Monaghan, and a very special first for this podcast, a chat happens in front of people, like sort of an audience situation, and that is with the neuroscientist Lewis Hu. So, that's coming up. So there's a lot to get through in this pod, so maybe we should just crack right on. That sounded pretty professional, didn't it? Sort of like, I could imagine a radio host saying that if we've got a really busy show. Let's crack right on, guys. Let's get on with it. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So first up is the chat with Patrick Monaghan. And we talk about, amongst other things, he gives a guide to the perfect hug. So if you've been wondering, hey, I'm not sure how I should hug. I've not hugged a lot. How should I do it? Patrick walks you through it bit by bit, and we talk about a load of other things. And so yeah, we'll just start with that. Here is my chat with Patrick Monaghan. Patrick, is there anything that I can do to help you get in the mood for a chat? Like straight off the bat, just like something like if you go to a gig, you might have a rider sort of thing. Is there anything that I can have done?
Do you know what? It's funny because I don't think it's just me, but I think in comedy in general, we have the least glamour and riders that you'll ever get in any profession. I think with comics, when we turn up, all we want is just a comfy sofa and maybe just some water. I mean, I'm not speaking for all comics. A lot of comics would probably like drugs and alcohol, but in general. But I'm quite happy with a sofa and a water. It's nice for me, really. Yeah.
I've heard a lot about that, drugs and alcohol.
Oh, God, yeah. Where does that come from?
A lot of people...
I don't know where they get their ideas.
Yeah. There's a lot of people having that stuff.
I would say my vice, which probably if people know me would know this, is cake, which is, and if you don't know me, people think is cake like a, is that a word for, is that like a drug word or something?
But like it's a not, Chris it's just, Morris thing.
Yeah, exactly, but it is actually just a genuine cake.
I like a good cake.
Yeah,
so exactly. I could have had a cake here.
You could have had a cake.
I could have had next
but
time.
But to be honest, no, but it's better that you didn't, because I'm going to do the marathon. I'm going to do the London Marathon.
Oh, yep.
Which is, yeah, you can't really eat cake.
Yeah, I totally knew that, and that's why I didn't bring a cake.
Good lad. Such a liar, but I love it.
Patrick, when was the last time you seen what you were doing and thought, I am a silly boy?
Every night. And in fact, on stage, I still think. I mean, I gig pretty much every night, and I love it. You've got to, because you wouldn't do it. But I do that thing where, and sometimes you just catch yourself on stage. And I think that's the best time. Especially for an audience, well, because you can catch yourself if you see the comic just laughing and just stood there and genuinely smiling, because then you're just thinking after thinking, what am I doing? This is hilarious. People are actually listening to me. They're crazy. Why are these people still here? Why are they still here after 5 minutes? And I love it. And I think that's probably every night that happens.
Was there like a situation recently though, like in your life, where you specifically thought, I am a silly boy, like when this happened?
Oh, you mean like silly, like as if I've done some, oh God, I would say, all the time really. But then I think that's as a comedian, it doesn't become silly anymore, it becomes material. So you do change. Before I did stand up, I would do daft things and think, oh my God, why did I say that to that person? Or why did I do that? And you sort of think it over in your head and you get embarrassed thinking, oh my God, I've got to stop being this daft. But now, as a stand-up, you think, oh, that's great. I'm glad that person, when they asked would I like a drink, and I said, no, I'd like a sausage on my face. And then I'd just go, that's brilliant. Then what I can do is I can run with that now.
Yeah.
And then nothing's ever silly now. You just think it's
and you
great.
Can sort of go out your way to be annoying to people.
And then you think, where can I take this as a stand-up routine? Yeah. You keep writing and writing it. And it is, and that's the difference, I think, with stand-up. It's great fun, but it means there's no more boundaries anymore.
Yeah, and it could just get to the stage where you have no friends.
Yeah.
If you just take it too far every time.
Yeah, people just think this guy is bonkers. They love it.
Right, so Patrick, if I were to become you,
okay,
steal your identity, what would you say are the three things I'd have to get right? In other words, what makes Patrick Monaghan Patrick Monaghan?
I would say the three things to make me right. Well, my identity, dead easy. I think you could probably Google it, and you could take. I mean, you could take all my identity, apart from my bank account details, because I've got several different ones and I keep changing my name. But I shouldn't really say that. But that's great. I like the born identity. But in terms of if you wanted to steal my actual identity, if you Google it, the first thing that comes up is I hug people. I've got a world record for that, and I do well. And you know, I love hugging people. At the end of each show, I always hug people. So if you could get a face mask of me and just went up to random people and hugged them, then people would believe it. They go, oh my God, this is Patrick. The second thing I would probably say is, we touched on it, was about the cake. I think if you took me out, if there was like a room of us all full of me wearing face mask of me, and we're at the bar.
Sure, can set that up.
We could set that up. Could do that. And we're at the bar, and you line up the bar with alcohol. And if we all went to the bar and everyone started downing the alcohol, except for one person, that would be me. I'd be the only one not drinking.
I don't drink.
Oh, you don't drink either? Oh my God, you could steal my identity.
Yeah.
This is exactly close. What you could do.
I like to hug people. Third one better not be me at all.
Okay, then. The third one is I like to dig tunnels into different countries and then smuggle rare jewellery in and out of countries. Do you do that?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Caught me out.
There you go. Caught you out. I'm just digging a tunnel at the moment into Mexico.
You talked about your hugging.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could give the guide to a perfect hug. What you think makes a perfect hug?
Well, you did it good when we just met now before we started this. You did the right thing, which is you should always be at the same level, same height.
Yep.
So you always get these awkward hugs where I've seen people trying to hug someone when someone sat down. And I'm thinking, well, don't, because you know, all you can do is it's really just grabbing someone and pushing them into your groin.
Yeah.
So what you got to do is you either got to both be sat down and hug on a sofa, or you both stood up and you've got to be at the same level.
Yeah.
And then obviously people are different heights, but then what you got to do is it's all about your arms. You've got to make sure, and there's a Welsh word called cutch, which is basically what you're going to do is you've got to put your right arm over their opposite shoulder, and then you put your left arm underneath their other arm, their opposite arm, so that it comes slides underneath. So you're making like an L shape with your body and your torso, and it goes and wraps around them, and then they wrap around you. So then it becomes like, you know, like you're tying a bow on a present sort of thing. And I think that's the nicest way of explaining it without.
So if anyone listening would like to pause that, rewind it, listen to that again
and
on repeat
that again, and just
to get right.
Try and get someone to do it with. If you can't, what you could do is you could get like a coat hanger and just put get some toilet rolls, stick them in a jacket, and then make like a mannequin figure.
Yeah, probably easier to make a friend.
Just get a friend.
Yeah, just get a friend. Right.
Probably easier, much easier.
Yeah.
Just ring up a friend and go, do you want to come round and hug?
Pre-gig, when you were having the stand of nerves and you're getting into your own headspace,
yeah.
In that moment, whose headspace would you rather have been in? Like in terms of like maybe like a famous figure that would like help you through?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? It's that old cliche, isn't it, where the old comics where people imagine that there's a comedian or comic or whatever backstage and they're doing, like, shadow boxing or whatever, like Muhammad Ali and all that sort of malarkey. But you don't really. I mean, it depends. It depends what the gig's like. If when I first started, some of the gigs were literally just a pallet on the floor in a pub where people didn't really... Well, they didn't pay to get in, they just come for a drink, and the next thing you know, there was someone on a stage trying to tell comedy stuff with a mic. So that was a bit of a battle. So with them sort of gigs, you've got to go in with a rat, you've got to sort of go on like a gladiator. Sometimes, you know, if people be heckling, you're in somewhere it's rowdy, then that is the time where you get your Muhammad Ali and you're sort of like going shadowbox,
oh my god,
am I going to get any of this out? Mm. They're probably going to heckle me to death. So you got to bang, bang, bang. But then there's other gigs where you want to go on still with a, not vulnerability, but you want to go on with a, like, still have that likability, because then you want the audience to think, oh, yeah, this guy, oh, they're nice, we don't want to heckle them, you know, they'll be all right with that. And I think that's a lot of what you would use when you were first starting out.
Yeah. And just to check, when you were doing, like, in the Muhammad Ali headspace, you didn't hit anyone, did you?
I punched a few walls. God, yeah. Made a paper mache. No, it's... definitely not. Could you imagine that would be the worst way to start a gig? Just walking on stage with a broken knuckle and the compere with no teeth, you just accidentally knocked him out.
Yeah, I mean, so just yeah, don't hit anyone. That's yeah, a good message just for everyone.
Please don't hit anyone yeah. before you go on. Remember, it's all about the hoax. Yeah.
Not even before you go on the gig, just anywhere.
Yeah, in general.
What a lovely message for
yeah,
us.
That is a good message, isn't yeah. it? Don't hit people.
I'd quite like, because a lot of interviews...
Unless they're choking, then you've got to hit them. What's that thing, the Heimlich manoeuvre?
The Heimlich manoeuvre,
so,
yeah.
So yeah, make sure you do hit make them.
That's in brackets.
Yeah, in brackets.
And then if someone asks you to hit them, maybe just then, like, yeah. give us a good mate.
If you're like a bondage, what's that one? Is it 50 Shades of Grey? Where they...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd be the worst dominatrix in the world if you didn't hit anyone. They're yeah. pointless.
Okay, well, I've lost faith in the message we put out there.
Yeah, exactly. So what I would say is just, I mean, if you want to hit someone, check with them if there's any money has been exchanged yeah, and yeah. if they want you to hit them.
Yeah. Hey, guys, be nice, people.
Be nice. That's what I was saying.
A lot of interviews are about getting exclusives, like sort of, this person's talking about this thing, like when they're going to be pregnant or when they're going to have a baby or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd quite like a Patrick Monaghan exclusive. So what is like... either something you've maybe you don't think you've said on a rate or a podcast yeah. before or something like that.
Well, what I've done is I'm like you know, I always believe in that thing about you reap what you sow, and over the years I've always held off having children, and I've managed to, I'm going to have 17 children all at the same time, but I've managed to plot them all across Britain, so when the time is right 17 different women are going to be pregnant.
How's that going to happen? Like, is it a button?
Yeah, no, I've given them all. Yeah, what I've done is I've given them all the 17 cupcakes. I've gone out there. It's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. But instead of one of them, you know, when you get their golden ticket, they get no choice whatsoever. They just eat a cupcake. And I'll keep it, you know, clean so they don't die. But there's like a microorganism in it, and it'll make them all pregnant at that same time. But I like the idea about pressing the button.
Yeah,
maybe it should be like, you know, them new ovens you get with the induction pans. Maybe it should be one of them things where when I put like a Mary Berry baking tray in, that's when 17 women across Britain, if they're near a cooker, will suddenly become pregnant.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That'd
yeah.
be amazing. That would get you a scoop, wouldn't it?
That'd yeah, that would be a big scoop.
All national front pages of press going, comic impregnates 17 women without even being anywhere near them all. That'd be great.
Thank you for that scoop.
That's a good scoop.
It's great.
It's going to be great.
It's going to get a lot of hits, this one. A lot of downloads. so let's talk... I don't think there is any merchandise, Patrick. Is there any Patrick Monaghan merchandise?
You've got a DVD? I've got a DVD. Yeah. Which, and you know, it's so funny because people always say, why don't you sell merchandise? You could sell T-shirts, mugs, you can sell anything, whatever you want. I do that. And I go, look, I think it's... I think people spend enough money on travel, trying to get to a gig and trying to pay tickets to get it. I mean, this is lovely. The Stand is good because they don't charge, you know, booking fees or ridiculous booking fees. But some places now, if you look at stuff, people are getting charged loads. And then the last thing I want to do is, you know, then at the end of it, start going, all right then, guys, I've nearly rinsed you for all your money coming here tonight and buying a ticket. I've got some other stuff. Here's some spoons with my name on it that you might never use. And here's some tea towels
yeah.
that you can show the kids. So I always think, look, if you want... I just think merchandise, I can understand some people do it.
Yeah.
Bands and that, because I suppose that's... You know, there's 12 of them in the band. And they've all got to, you know, if they just get the gig money, that's not going to, you know, it won't even cover their expenses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they've got to sell T-shirts.
That's the whole One Direction thing. Like, they're not getting enough money. They need
to
go.
No, exactly. They've got about £20 million each. That's not going to keep them going.
But let's say there were to be a Patrick Monaghan action figure.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you like its look to be, like the apparel you think you wear the most? And who would your arch nemesis be?
Wow. So I would say... My action figure would have one of them outfits, you know, where you, it's a jumper with 8 different hands. And what it would do is, so people would know which hand is going to grab them and it's going to hug them. And then if you press the button on the waist, it'll swivel around. And then at the same time as hugging, I could then spoon someone. So it's like a special hugging, spooning power. So then what'll happen is, no matter how aggressive someone is, what you do is you sort of calm them down with the hug. Say there's like some 7'2", like... some maniac, and he's running havoc along Prince Street.
And this
Street.
Is your nemesis.
This is my nemesis.
This is a big battle.
Yeah, and he goes around and he's spreading evil like that. And then suddenly, what I do is out of nowhere, I come with 8 different hands, and he's trying to like spar me, and he doesn't know which hand to try and break, and he's trying to break my arm. But then my other 2 hands grab him, and then while I'm like slowly taking his evil, then you press a button, I spin round, and then I suddenly kick his feet, knock him on the floor, and then I spooned him, and then I hold him in the spooning position on the floor for about an hour.
Yeah.
Until the police turn up.
That's the final scene of the film.
probably the worst ending to any action. It's like a big high car chase, a big shootout, and then there's just this action hero just spooning the evil guy.
So this is moving on to my trademark question now. Okay. So this is, a lot of interviewers think you need a lot of talent to be a good interviewer. I just think you need one killer question.
Yeah. And you're on the rise. Go on. So,
You ready?
God, I'm ready for this.
Pretty confident. I think you're a bit confident, but here we go.
No, I'm not. I hate it. Go on. Killer question. I always get worried when people ask questions because you think it's so funny now because with Google and the internet and people know more about your life than you do, and then it's hilarious, and then they ask you something. And then you go, oh yeah, did I do that? I can't remember that. And then you've got to like answer a question on something you didn't.
Well, let's see what this brings up. Let's see.
Go on then.
What do you like?
What do I like? Wow, what would I like? What do I like? In terms of what time is it? You mean like now or?
Just however you want to answer it. Yeah. What do you like?
What do I like? I like.
It's such a good question because it takes it so many different ways.
I mean, look, let's take it from the big ballpark figure. I mean, it could be what do I like? I like world peace. I mean, that's a good way to start. Yeah, but then it can get complicated.
You seem a bit like a beauty pageant
contestant. Exactly, exactly. Where you're just standing there and you're going, this thing. And the problem you have with it is when you do it, the thing is if you say you like world peace, then you hit problems. Because then people are like going, oh God, but then if there's no wars and if there's no conflict, then for comics, we'd struggle. We'd have no material. There'd be nothing to shout about. You know, people would just become your comedy gigs where they're going, hey, what's that country like? They're exactly the same as this country. Hey, it's all great. So then, I suppose in a way, people would hate me if I said, let's have peace. So I don't know, what would I like? I'd probably go for something easy, like probably a cinema pass for them. Or maybe Netflix. I've never had Netflix.
Never had Netflix?
No, is it good?
It's really good,
Everyone keeps telling me about it.
There's a new thing I watched on it called Daredevil. Like, it's a Marvel thing. It's like a new TV series. It's
and he's
amazing.
Blind or something.
Yeah. That's what his thing is.
That is amazing. What does he do then? He just walks around with a dog solving crime.
There's no dog. That would have been it. It's quite a dark, violent thing, but it would have been nice to have a little dog.
Yeah, just him waiting at crossings.
Yeah.
And then waiting for the evil to come, the dog woofs.
He's got like a mask over his eyes because he doesn't really need them.
Yeah.
That's what his thing is. Then like he can sense things a lot better. Like he can sort of basically see, but it's with like his hearing.
And that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's a toss-up really. What would I like? It's either a case of Netflix free anywhere on my tablet or maybe an end to all wars and famine. I'd probably go for, I don't know, it's hard.
Netflix is like really good.
I love you, Chet. Look at that, I'm just imaging people here with no running water, no food. No, but Netflix is good.
Okay. You've got like all of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's good. Orange is the New Black, that Kimmel thing or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
That's it. I mean, it's a good question. It's too hard to decide. I'd probably have to put it on Twitter and let people decide. I'd have to say, look, do you think I should... What would make me happy? World peace, end to famine and wars, or free Netflix for a year?
Just a year.
Okay, then. 3 years.
Yeah. Now it's the deepest question of them all, so just get ready to sort of revisit your past.
Let's do it.
What would you like to ask yourself?
What would I like to ask myself? So this, loads of stuff.
This could be you asking, like, you could go into the future and ask yourself a question sort of about what's happening in your life, that sort of thing. Just
Yeah. Probably, I'd probably go back a bit and just say to myself, you know, if you could have left the house 5 minutes early, you would have probably caught that train. And the same way, there was a couple of gigs I've done, well, not a couple, loads of gigs I've done, where I've always left just 1 minute too late and I've ran to the station and just seen the train doors close and just pull off without me. So the all them times would be amazing if I could just say to myself, I could just turn up like Quantum Leap and say, you know, that train's leaving in 6 minutes and it takes 7 minutes to walk.
Right, you've got the chance to ask yourself one question.
Yeah.
Kind of, you can go into any time in your life and you'd ask, why are you late for this train? Or like, just get up a bit earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the... Just that would be nice, wouldn't it? Just that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, that wasn't deep at all, though, your answer. It's right. Just get a train.
Tell you what, though. Yeah, but it saved me a trip on the coach trip at night time at 3 in the morning. True. God saved many a cold night waiting for a coach. Although saying that, it's been quite fun, actually, some nights sitting there watching people turn up, just waiting for a bus who then don't get on the bus. And you always think, what are them people doing?
Yeah.
So, no, probably you're probably right. I probably wouldn't ask myself that.
Yeah, it was quite boring. It was quite like a boring answer.
I'd probably want, what could I do? So I could ask myself something in the future.
Yeah.
I would probably go to the future and then ask myself, say, what did you decide? Did you go for Netflix?
That's what I was thinking.
Were you thinking that as well? Yeah. Because I'd be interested to know exactly what I'd go for.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's the famine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want famine, but I'm hoping that there is a famine.
It's got like all of House.
I know. Yeah.
I've not seen House, but it's supposed to be very good. So yeah, basically, that's sort of it. And just finally, anything you'd like to add, plug, or get off your chest at the end of this chat?
Yeah, no, I think I always love a chat. I think it's funny because I'm probably one of the most laid-back people where it's so funny. I don't really, you know, when people say, oh, like comics rant or they get upset about stuff, and I'm the total opposite, actually. I actually quite enjoy it. There's nothing really to get off my chest. Most of it's funny because when I do my comedy, it's all just about entertainment. People coming for a laugh. It's funny because people go to it and they go, they're expecting, like, with comics, they say, oh my god, it's going to be quite edgy, and oh my god, it's going to be like quite, you know, offensive, whereas mine's the total opposite. So I would probably say, if anyone has got anything to get off their chest, if they could tweet me, and then I could think about it.
Yeah, you could help them out.
I could help them out.
Yeah,
with that.
Cool.
I think,
well, thank you very much for doing this, Patrick.
Thank you, James. Lovely to see you.
That was my chat with Patrick Monaghan. Thank you very much to Patrick for giving me some of his time. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, if you want to keep up to date with what Patrick is up to with his life, you can follow him on Twitter at Patrick J Monaghan. And also you can find details about where he's gigging and stuff on his website, patrickmonaghan.co.uk. Now, like, I'm not 100% sure that is the URL, but I'm sure I've seen it. And I reckon it's that. If not, just Google his name and then that'll come up. That's a lot easier for me right now instead of like actually checking it. And now we're going to move on to the next section of this podcast. That again sounds professional. I'm feeling really professional right now. I'm recording this at like 10:30 at night on a Saturday. So that's clearly my professional time. Yeah, so this is the very first live chat that I've done in front of people, and it happened at the Stand Comedy Club at a show called Electric Tales. My friend Shan, who is the host of said show, Electric Tales, she has been on the podcast and she likes podcasts and she is a friend, and she asked if I would like to harness my chat skills as part of the show, sort of a science festival special thing. And yeah, so I said I'd like that. That'd be nice. And wrote a load of questions for it. Got a chat to a neuroscientist, Lewis Hu, as I've already mentioned. And yeah, so this is a bit nerve-wracking because most sort of live podcasts are by comedians. So it's people who have already been comedians and then started a podcast. I'm not a comedian. I just like interviewing people. So it was a bit. Made me a bit nervous. I'm not that used to being on stage. I hadn't been on stage for about a year and a half when I did this. And so yeah, a few things I'll just quickly mention before I play the full interview. The quality of this interview is not as good as sort of like the rest of the podcast. It's a bit, I used a different recorder, so yeah, it's not as good. And you'll hear a little bit of me setting up, sort of like, because I went out a bit before the actual interview to explain what was about to happen, but I've cut a lot of that out because it doesn't really work audio wise. Technical talk there. Doesn't really work audio wise. Very technical. So yeah, you'll hear a little bit of me setting it up, and then you'll hear maybe reintroduced for the what we set up as a mini chat show. So I kind of point to talk about ad breaks and things like that. So that's me setting up a mini chat show. That's what that was. But yeah, what anything else? Oh yeah, we talk about a wet seat a lot and like vinegar on a seat. That's because my mate Derek kind of did a experiment on stage where like he put stuff in a bottle, some of that stuff being vinegar, and then it sort of like overflowed or something like that onto the seat. And so that made the seats wet, or made one of them wet. It made one of the seats wet, which was not ideal. But as I mentioned, I take that seat because I'm the good host and I'm wanting my guests to be comfortable and not have a wet bum. Okay, well, I don't think I've ever said I want my guests to be comfortable and not have a wet bum before, but hey, Saturday night is a night for firsts, isn't it? That's what they say. So yeah, that was a really long, sorry, how that was so long, I'm sorry about that. But here, for your listening pleasure, again, I'm getting professional. Here for your listening pleasure, live from the Stand Comedy Club a few days ago, from when I'm recording this, is my chat with the neuroscientist Lewis Hu. Clap in your homes wherever you're listening, because it's starting now.
So yeah, basically, I'm here to have a chat with a guy. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? I know that already. So yeah, it's basically going to be, you're going to be listening in on the chat. So it's sort of like eavesdropping, but like intense eavesdropping. Like sort of like eavesdropping in a cafe, is just sort of like overhearing someone go, oh, you heard what Marjorie's been up to, then you like tuning in. But this is intense eavesdropping, where you've all turned your chairs to face the conversation and just sort of openly reacting to it. And yeah, so it's going to be pretty intense, your eavesdropping. Nice work. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your host for tonight's show. I changed accents halfway through this because I changed my mind. Please welcome James Walker!
Put on a jacket, so it's all nice. So yeah, I'm going
to...
What was that? Oh, someone said something. I just heard someone say something and I thought, what is that? Got inquisitive. Let's move on with the chat show. That was like the monologue at the start. So yeah, I'm going to get my guest out now. He is what is known as a neuroscientist. Please welcome Lewis Hu.
I'm very good. Shall I sit on the... is this the wet one?
No, I've got the wet one.
Okay.
I've nice been the good host and taken the wet one.
Good man.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's all very pleasant already. So yeah, let's sort of start with... let's start right at the beginning. Science, what's that? Just like sort of a general...
A general, science is a mode of exploring the world. So, from gouging eyes out on yourself or poking birthmarks until they come back, that is all science, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, let's say I'm a guy, I'm 23, glasses wearing, likes chicken, dislikes spiders, teetotal, I don't drink. Like, I've had sips and stuff, I'm not mental. I don't think that really counts, and I've had a dog, I've got a dog. How would you describe your work and what you do to someone like that?
So you have a brain.
Yes.
And it helps control all the things you do, including disliking spiders and looking after a dog. And so I look at pictures of your brain without having to, so I can understand a bit more about you without having to break your head open.
Right, right. You're not going to break my head open during this, are you?
No, no.
Cool. No, just like to get that with all my guests, I like to check that straight off the bat. I'm not going to crack my head open.
We're on Glasgow now.
Okay, cool.
It's happened already.
Okay, so my main knowledge of like scientists comes from films.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of films are sort of like in the background with their clipboard, like I've got here, looking in a tube and then sort of taking some notes. You ever done that?
First question, really idiotic. Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Never, never.
I was kind of going to, my whole thing tonight was going to be, I am the biggest idiot. But then the resident idiot comes on, gets vinegar all over my seat. That sort of ruined that one. So yeah, is there sort of during your neuroscience research, is there a specific thing that you learned that really surprised you or really got you thinking more about neuroscience, got you into it a bit more?
Big question. That's a hard question. I guess one of the main things that we look at is, you know, who's heard of the left and right side of the brains? I know they have, that you can be left brained and right brained.
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's not true. it is a myth, but actually it's a complicated myth because the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain are actually different. But not in the way that people imagine. So that was something quite interesting, I guess.
Yeah. That was interesting. That was good. But the left and right brain. I liked it. Uh-huh. It was good work.
Actually, I can go a bit loopy.
Oh, you've got a drawing? Is this a diagram?
No. It's actually a brain I brought.
Oh, you brought a brain?
Everyone has.
He's showing off like it's an unusual thing to bring a brain.
Not only is it just any brain, this is actually my brain.
Whoa.
That's been 3D printed.
3D printers. You got one of them, they're probably quite expensive, isn't they?
It was a gift.
It was a gift. It's from a guy that's really rich.
Well.
With a 3D printer.
Well, kind of. Behind a lorry.
Is it, I was looking on the internet, because it's a great place. Guys, check it out. Is it true that you recently tweeted, certainly the dumbest question to ask brain scientists / psychologists is, can you read my mind? And did you know I was going to ask that? Good joke.
Idiot proof.
You don't need to answer that one, that was just for me.
Okay.
That was a nice little moment for me there. Oh, there you go. So what we're going to do now is lead into, because it's an ad break, we're going to have an ad break.
Okay.
So if you can sort of like tell, I've told you to bring a joke, like sort of science joke that I might not understand.
Okay.
If you could tell that, and then whatever it is, even if they'll get a laugh, it's sort of like I'll look at the camera. It's over there.
I'll look at the camera.
And I'll say, I'll do an unrealistic laugh and then cut to a break.
Okay.
And then, okay, so if you just want to, like, casually lead into that joke.
Okay. So. Where do gangsters rap? On the left side.
Like, break. Nailed it. So this is the advertisement break, so just tell people about some things you like. What sort of products do you like? What
products?
Yeah.
Like hair gel?
Hair gel. What hair gel do you use?
I don't actually know. VO5, maybe?
VO5. Big shout out. Shout out to VO5.
Uh-huh.
Any other products you see? Any food you're liking recently?
Thai food's pretty good.
Thai food is good.
Yeah, I tried that. It was, yeah.
Do you want to do like a little advertisement for Thai food? Just say.
Thai food? Like Thailand in your mouth.
Oh.
In a good way.
And when it, like, in this sort of, back from break, here we go, I did that one. I'm a natural at this. Nailing it. Let's say, like, right now you're in a room of people that probably a lot of them, at least some of them aren't scientists.
Okay.
Like, some of them are not scientists.
That's fine.
Do you ever sort of, when you're in a room like that, feel a lot better than them and do sort of smug laugh to yourself? You guys, smarter. You ever done that?
No, not really.
Oh, that's fun to do.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. So, you took part in a show called Dedinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It was this sort of zombie apocalypse. Could you explain a bit about what the show was?
So, basically, we went with the position, what would happen if zombies took over Edinburgh, ergo the name. And then what would the realistic kind of scientific response be? So we got put audience members in, we taught them a little bit about science, so I looked a little bit like which parts of the brain would be damaged in zombies, and there'd be other bits and bobs, stem cells to help regenerate. Actually, my favourite one was a psychiatrist who's trying to argue that we should not kill the zombies, we should actually train them not to bite using CBT. Actual twist on the genre, and then very realistically we'd ask them to vote at the end whether we should try and cure the zombies, if that was a good idea, whether we should kill them, difficult, morally imperative, or we should just bomb the shit out of Edinburgh.
Right.
Very realistic.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, what if, like, let's say this woman here, let's say she's been feeling a bit ill today, and Turns out she's about to be a zombie. Okay? Let's say she came up and she was about to bite me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What would you do? Would you sort of try and run away, or would you get something heavy and hit me in the head, like in The Walking Dead?
What, hit you before she bit you? Just hit you anyway?
She was about to make me a zombie. It was about to happen.
I'd probably hit you repeatedly.
Hit me repeatedly.
Probably got you misery.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be good. But, like, if you got, let's say, zombie apocalypse starting, you got out here, where would be your first port of call? Where would you go, do you think?
You know, I thought about this a lot when I was a kid, especially. Chippies.
Chippies, why chippies?
Because they all got the steel bits and, you know, the windows are barred and you've got potatoes.
Just chips.
You can slide for a long time in a chippy, I reckon.
I've got vinegar on the seat if you want it, mate.
Vinegar on the seat. Well, no, in fact, they don't like vinegar.
You, on a, another thing you do, that is a great segue. Another thing you do is you sort of combine science and Kaylee's. Could you tell me a bit? Because in my head, I do not know how that combines.
Okay.
So please make it clear.
So we have a Kaylee band. I play the fiddle, and I also communicate science. And one day, these kind of things kind of together, because trying to explain and get people to dance is actually very similar to getting people to engage in science. People are like, ooh, I don't dance. I don't do science.
Yeah.
And actually,
that's exactly what my voice is like.
Yeah,
when I say
yeah, I really tried, but my voice is broken. And so the science Kaylee is adapting the Kaylee dances or making new Kaylee dances to explain science concepts. So the easiest way to think about it is the dashing white blood cell would become a model for the immune system.
Right. Okay. And I believe you've got a thing you're going to perform at the... Is it there now?
Yes, we do have a little plug. We have a Science Kaylee on Friday with the Edinburgh Science Festival, and it's all about neuroscience, which is great for me.
Yeah. So I go to that. That is good. Like, that'd be a good photo, wouldn't it? Like, promotional photo.
Yeah, I think so.
Go to that. Me. You thumbs up. Nailed it.
You okay. Can some gum.
So, do you want to maybe start do that song?
Yeah, for sure. We can do that. I might need to set up.
Oh. Yeah, that's cool. I'll just keep everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, guys. This is a bit where someone sets up. Usually, in a TV show, this bit's cut out. You don't really see, like, Madonna or that set up. Damn, she does it herself, though. Probably get some other people to do it. That was a good sentence, wasn't it?
Yes.
How do you want to... Do you want my help with this, don't you?
A little bit. So what we're going to do... We're not going to do science cave, don't worry. There's not a lot of space. But what we are going to do is learn a bit about the brain, and we'll do a bit of audience participation, which usually means in this tonight, pick on these guys. But I won't. I will get everyone to sing along. Now, the song is based off... coming round the mountain. Does everyone know this?
Yeah.
Surely coming round the mountain when she comes.
Yeah.
Yeehaw, sir. Excellent. But what we'll actually be talking about, which parts of the brain we actually use. So, if you would like to hold up, I haven't put this.
Let's do this now.
There we go. So the parts of the brain I'll be talking about, and I'd like you guys to sing along with, especially in the chorus. Are the frontal cortex. So repeat after me, the frontal cortex. And in the chorus, it will go something along the lines of singing my frontal cortex. Singing my frontal cortex. Singing my frontal, my frontal, my frontal cortex. And it'll be something like this. And in the second verse, we'll talk about the motor cortex, which is just along the scalp. So repeat after me, the motor cortex. Beautifully demonstrated that.
Thank you.
And then the last part, the last verse, will be the temporal cortex, right on the sides. Temporal cortex.
Temporal cortex.
Very good. Okay, let's give it a go. Oop, bugger.
I was a bit slow on that last one, sorry, mate.
Okay,
later.
It's okay.
Later.
Seamless. Now, my voice is not normally this husky. I've got a bit of a cold, so excuse the voice breaking if it happens. I'm just singing really loud, so no one knows this. I'll be using my frontal cortex with this song. When I decide to play a tune, it won't take long to raise the oxygen metabolic rates. The rest of the brain, it'll orchestrate. I'm using my prefrontal cortex with this song. Singing my prefrontal cortex. Singing my frontal cortex. Singing my frontal. Connected by a performed body blood bundle. Singing my frontal cortex. So there'll be a bit in the middle. Signals from my motor cortex reach my hand. Just across the band, it lies like a headband. Understand, from the left, my right brain beckons at 120 beats per second. Signals from my motor cortex reach my hand. Singing my motor cortex. Singing my motor cortex. Movement promoter singing my motor cortex. Sound vibrations enter my ears from the side. That's where the temporal cortex does bite. Understanding words as well as chords. The dopamine rewards. Sound vibrations enter my ears from the side. I'm not normally sitting for that bit. Singing my temporal cortex. Singing my temporal cortex. Singing my temporal. It hears and smells in general. Singing my
an actual chat show ended on a song. Nice work. Thank you so much to Lewis, who I've been James Walker. This was nice, thank you very much. Bye bye.
That was my live chat with Lewis Hu, and thank you very much to Lewis for doing that. And it was a lot of fun. I really liked chatting to Lewis. And if you want to find out a bit more about him, you can find him on Twitter at FiddleBrained. And also you can check out the Science Kaylee. So that's sciencekaylee.com. And I think there's a hashtag Science Kaylee. So if you're into your hashtags, check that out. And also Electric Tales, which was that interview was a part of, is a monthly show at The Stand in Edinburgh, and its next shows are the 12th of May, the 9th of June, and the 14th of July. So if you're anywhere sort of near Edinburgh, or as some say, in Edinburgh, if you're in Edinburgh or near it, you should go to them, because they're a lot of fun. Hosted by Shan, who is one of the best people out there. I'll fight you if you say it. She's not, and I won't fight. I don't like fighting. I'm not into fighting. So yeah, go to them on those. I might be in one of them doing another interview, so that's exciting. So yeah, I don't think it was that professional, and all the bits I've recorded tonight are kind of not that professional really. But yeah, if you want to tell me how professional you thought it was, I'm on Twitter too, at James Walker Guy. Get on there and say it was actually pretty professional, mate. Kind of you really outdone yourself. Okay. It's getting a bit late. I've become a bit delirious, I reckon. Next time, hopefully, I'll record this at a more sort of reasonable hour. And I'll sort of make a bit more sense and be more concise. But not today. No, not at all.
If you like this podcast, you can follow the Twitter account at Chats4U,
And if inclined to do so, you could also leave a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store to help it get a little bit more attention. But nothing less than glowing. So just to make that clear, a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store. Thank you. This podcast was an Imminent Joy production. Visit imminentjoy.com for a bunch of different funny people doing a bunch of different funny things.